Today's Old Testament lesson is from Jeremiah chapter 33, verses 14 to 16. It is about the righteous branch and the covenant with David. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will fulfill the promise I made to the house of Israel and the house of Judah. In those days, and at that time, I will cause a righteous branch to spring up for David, and he shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will live in safety. And this is the name by which it will be called: the Lord is our righteousness. Our second lesson is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 9 to 13. How can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy that we feel before our God because of you? Night and day, we pray earnestly that we may see you face to face and restore whatever is lacking in your faith. Now, may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus direct our way to you. And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all, just as we abound in love for you. And may he so strengthen your hearts in holiness that you may be blameless before our God and Father, and at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints.
I invite you to stand for the gospel. Reading from the Holy Gospel of Luke, 21st chapter, verses 25 through 36, the coming of the Son of Man. There will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and on the earth distress among nations, confused by the roaring of the sea and the waves. People will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to take place, stand up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Then Jesus told them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is already near. So also when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. So be on guard so that your hearts are not weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of this life, and that day does not catch you unexpectedly like a trap. For it will come upon all who live on the face of the whole earth. Be alert at all times, praying that you may have the strength to escape all these things that will take place and to stand before the Son of Man. This is the good news.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. Hello, Noah. And Mom. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. The English poet Alexander Pope wrote these words: hope springs eternal in the human breast. Man never is, but always to be blessed. But where does man turn when hope dries up? The director of a medical clinic told of a terminally ill young man who came in for his usual treatments. A new doctor who was on duty said to him casually and rather cruelly, he said, "You know, don't you, that you will not live out the year." As the young man left, he stopped by the director's desk and began to weep. find a new one. Commenting on this incident, Lewis Smedes wrote, "Is there a hope when hope is taken away? Is there hope when the situation is hopeless?" That question leads us to Christian hope, for in the Holy Scriptures, hope is no longer a passion for the possible. No longer a passion for the possible. It becomes a passion for the promise. Today, my friends, begins the holy season of Advent, and the theme for today and every day is hope. It's very easy, though, in the light of our experience and our day-to-day news and the behavior of humanity and the sins of humanity, to reach a point and a place of despair, right? It's easy to lose hope and to drift into a cynical attitude that things will never be better. Many in our world today have lost hope and are living in despair. The problems are so universally experienced. Some seem to be wallowing over the economic situation, over the strains of family life and marital, non-marital relationships, indeed over the political and governmental decisions that are made and dramatically affect you and me. The problems are so big, why even make a real attempt to solve them? The rest of the world can't get it together, so why should I? Yes, my friends, it's easy for us to linger in the arms of despair and to wallow in the lap of despondency. One question I often have been confronted with my conscience, as I eat my second plate on Thanksgiving Day, strikes with me again. How can we feed all of the hungry people of the world? There are so many. Isn't it impossible to feed everyone? And to this question, I honestly come to say in my heart and mind, yes, it is seemingly impossible to feed everyone, but it is possible for me to help feed someone, as it is for you. It's been pointed out many times by a great number of persons that there are no hopeless situations. There are only people who bring no hope to the situation. There are no hopeless situations. There are only people who bring no hope to the situation. Well, no one can be hopeless when he or she believes in the wondrous grace of God. No Christian will be permanently despairing. The Christian person of today needs to see both that there has been one decisive coming and that there will be another. That is the situation in which you and I are set. Such is the true nature of faith. The believer has seen enough to know that the world is not forsaken by God. For something unique has happened, which has turned his or her spirit from despair to trust, Paul calls it, the grace of God given you in Christ Jesus. You know, the Hebrew word for hope, the Hebrew word for hope in the Old Testament is also the word for trust. Same Hebrew word. On the basis of what he has seen, the Christian has the assurance that he or she is not alone in this world. He or she is enriched and sustained by a faithful God. And when the great Advent is over, the fulfillment will come, that consummation of God's own purpose in heaven and on earth, as we heard in Luke's Gospel. I remember once at my front door, there came a guest, a visitor from Jehovah's Witness, and her collection of literature, and she said to me, "The end of the world, something to hope for, something to fear." "There is enough to be afraid of," I responded. "No, thank you. I have nothing to fear. is God's will for us. When you and I, when we really believe that God is our Lord and our sovereign Lord, then we can no longer be without hope. No situation is hopeless as long as there is such a thing as love and the power of God. A great moment in my life was the time when I came to recognize and fully accept that God loves and cares about me. Not that God will love me when I become the way I think I should be, that's self-expectation, but that God loves me right now at this very moment as I am with all of my faults and sins. God loves me and God loves you. God never loved you more than God does at this moment. God will never love you less than God does now. My friends, our hope and our salvation is that God, our Father, loves us, that this God, who is our Savior in Jesus, rescues us from sin and death, and that God is in control and command of this world. The problems of this world are neither created by God, nor does God desire the world to be as it is. But God did create, right, persons with freedom to choose, and we persons, even Christian persons, do make the wrong choices. And yet, as believers, we need not despair, because we know that God is and will always be the ruler of heaven and earth. Humankind can delay God's purpose, but we can never defeat it. We can never defeat God's purpose. This Christian faith brings us hope in our despair and assurance in our doubts, but includes more than saying, I hope this or I hope that. Just saying it. It means doing that hope, living that hope. The Advent season gives the church an opportunity to participate the second Advent as well as to recollect the memory of the first. The season, in fact, evokes a picture of the full drama of salvation and the church's place within it. The faithful community looks back to the time before it was even a community, when its members were separated from Christ, strangers to the covenant's promise, without God and without hope in this world. That recollection forms the backdrop for the festival of the Incarnation, which is to come at Christmas. But the church also looks forward, right? And this is where our hope must be lived, from the vantage point of its present interim to that day of fulfillment, the final phase of the drama. With real anticipation, not only liturgical recapitulation, I call it, Christians live an ongoing life of faith, always open to what God promises to do, always trustful, because as Paul says, God is faithful. When you and I, when we are certain of God's promise and God's love, that we can live with hope and look forward to our lives with anticipation, that the Lord will come to us and rescue us out of despair into his peace. So often, right, we look for our security and our peace in the wrong places, living lives that are pulled apart. So long as we are engaged in this cultural war and division and do not have it all together, we cannot look forward with anticipation of peace and hope for deliverance. Our salvation is to give ourselves away. Just as we approach the Christmas season with minds turning to giving, God gives so supremely and perfectly to us, we give to others. If we have not already given ourselves to the Lord, now is the time we finally, finally abdicate to Christ for the life that controls, has hope, and has peace. The believer in Christ, the one whose advent coming was so long ago announced by angelic voices, and who still comes today, knows God really cares for all people, knows that we are not alone. God loves us, and we can trust God as God is revealed to us in Christ. And so we need not despair, for we know God will deliver and rescue us. It is God's way to come in the flesh, to be among us, to pitch his tent with us, it means, to save us where we need saving grace. That is our Advent hope and trust. My friends, if we as Christian people do not have hope, who will? Who will? Let all the people say it.